Welcome to the Craig T. Owens audio blog with Craig's blog posts in audio format to go. Now, here's Craig.
We started a series last week, and I want to build on today the words of Jesus simply saying, I will build my church. Who builds the church? Jesus builds his own church. It's his plans, it's his ideas, not ours. And so last week we talked about sorting out those words that we hear, the words plural that sometimes come from other people versus the word of God, what God says to us. And we had dove into kind of getting into the nitty gritty of the biblical words versus sometimes the non-biblical words where people are saying, well, I think that it's supposed to be like this, or this is the way the tradition always has been, or this is the way that I was raised to believe this thing. And so we have to stand on the word. Now, the other voices that we hear, I'm going to call them the they voices. They say, and I'm sure you've heard those things before, maybe about even your Christian belief. Well, I heard that they say that the Bible had this happen, or I heard they say Jesus did this. Okay? So let's set aside the scripture for just a second. If somebody comes to you and says, hey, they told me that you said this or you did this, how do you feel about that? Wait a minute. That's not accurate. Yeah, you might want to say, who are they? Or you say, well, I'm glad that you came to me because I'm the source. I'm going to tell you what I said, what I did. You don't have to listen to they. And that's why this series is called I Will Build My Church. It's Jesus saying, you don't have to listen to what they say. You're going to come and hear what I have to say. So we're going to take a passage of scripture that we're going to camp out in a little bit today. We're going to pull this apart because I want you to catch a couple of things in here. Jesus is walking and talking with his disciples, and he wants to get to the root of the they say with a couple of questions here. So he's talking to his disciples, verse number 13 of Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people or who do they say the Son of Man is? What have you heard? Verse number 14, they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So he's saying, okay, so guys, what have you heard? Now, this might have been in light of, if we go back a couple of chapters, Jesus himself had a conversation with some of the religious leaders and listen to the they says in here in Matthew chapter 11. He says, for John, talking about John the baptizer, he came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man, he's speaking about himself, came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but wisdom is proved right by her actions. So Jesus is saying, okay, listen, you can't really win here, can you? John was fasting from certain foods. He abstained from certain foods and he didn't drink anything that was alcohol-based, anything even that could become that. He didn't even eat grapes. And people looked at him and goes, oh, they said, well, he must be demon-possessed if he's going to live like that. Jesus said, yeah, I sit down and eat meals with people and I drink a glass of wine and people go, oh, you're a glutton, you're a drunkard, and you hang out with those sinners. Okay? So that's the they say. Now, I think that the they say question is a great question to ask your friends that are skeptical of what's going on in the Bible. Or maybe even somebody who's outright antagonistic, somebody who they claim to be an atheist, and they're like, ah, you believe all these fairy tales? I think it's a great question to say, well, tell me about the Jesus that you've heard about. Tell me about the God that you think exists. Or sometimes with atheists, I've said, tell me about the God that you don't believe in. You know what I found a lot of times? Boy, we've got a lot of common ground, because I wouldn't believe in that kind of God either. When they start sharing with me what they think that God really is, or what they think that they've heard about Jesus, I said, oh, wow. Yeah, you know what? If that's the only information that I had about Jesus, I would probably come to the same conclusions that you have, that he was just a good guy, or just, you know, he lived, he died, and that's it. He's still in the grave. Or God, boy, I don't know that I could put my faith in that kind of God. So it's a great question for us to ask skeptics, for us to ask atheists, agnostics. Well, tell me about this God that you don't believe in, or that what have you heard? But you know what? I think that Jesus is also saying here, this is a great question for us to ask of ourselves. Because after he hears the they say, who do they say? Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, some others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then Jesus says to these guys who have been traveling around with him, spending all this time with him, well, but what about you? Let me bring it home. You've told me what other people say. What about you? Who do you say that I am? It's a really great question. Who is it that I actually say that I'm following? Who is it that I say that I believe in? Is it the God that's pictured for us in the Bible? Is it the one that Jesus made visible for us? And so Simon Peter, in verse number 16, he, as usual, makes himself the spokesperson for the group. And he jumps in. You are the Christ, not a Christ, not somebody like a good prophet, a good man. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He makes it pretty specific. There's nobody else but you. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, or revealed to you by what they say, but by my Father in heaven. And here's where we get the words for this series. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gate of Hades, the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he tells his disciples, he says, hey, listen, I am not ready for everybody else to hear this. There's going to be a time where I'm going to say, go and tell everyone. But right now, he warns his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. We're not ready for that yet. Now, what Peter just said here is his verbal confession. Who do you say that I am? Who have you come to see? The Holy Spirit, God has revealed to me, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you got that right. Okay? Your verbal confession is right on. But there is a huge difference between a verbal confession and a lifestyle confession. A verbal confession and a lifestyle confession. What do I mean by that? Well, Peter's not the only one who made this claim. Look at this. Some demons, they come out of people and they say to Jesus, you are the Son of God. Sounds a lot like what Peter just said, but where are they going to go at the end? Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell has been prepared for Satan and these demons, even though they can make a verbal confession that you are the Son of God. Jesus brought it home to some people in Matthew chapter 7. He says to them, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, I believe you, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, here's their verbal confession. Did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You see, a lifestyle confession, the way that we live our life, can either amplify or completely cancel what our verbal testimony is, our verbal confession. So look at how what happens to Peter. Peter makes this great verbal confession. Verse number 21 of Matthew chapter 16, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must. There's no, like, I think that it's going to work out like this, or maybe this seems like the most likely course right now. It's set. He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter, the same Peter who made this confession that Jesus said, the Holy Spirit revealed this to you, took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Basically saying, you don't know what you're talking about. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus, who has just said, blessed are you, Simon, because the Lord revealed this to you, now says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but instead has what? The things of? Things of come from what they say. There's when the rubber meets the road. Oh, man, how am I going to walk this out now? Is that lifestyle confession going to still align with the verbal confession? It's one thing to say those words, but then what's happening with our lifestyle? Are we living this out, or are we denying it by our lifestyle? Look at, I think that John, who was also, you know, he's there with the all the disciples as this is going on. In his first letter, in 1 John, I think that you hear, and maybe he even had this exchange in mind, because you're going to see he's going to contrast a verbal confession and a lifestyle confession. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him, from Jesus, and declare to you, God is light, in him there's no darkness at all. If we claim, if my verbal testimony is that I have fellowship with him, and yet I walk in the darkness, I lie, and I'm not living in the truth. Here's the lifestyle that we should be. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim, verse number 8, another verbal confession, if we claim to be without sin, we have deceived ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, here's the lifestyle. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Another verbal claim. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him, we make Jesus out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Listen to what Jesus goes on to say, our lifestyle, back in Matthew chapter 16. Here's what our lifestyle. It's one thing to say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But look at verse number 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good is it? What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. Now, what he said, but how he actually lived it out. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. See, friends, the essential confession is not just, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, but it's the lifestyle confession of, I will take up my cross and follow you. Those two have to go together. Otherwise, if we say, I believe you are the Son of God, but I'm going to do it my own way. Oh, never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. It can't be like this. You're confused, Jesus. it's got to be this way, not this way, then we deny our, we cancel out our verbal confession. The essential confession is both, I believe you are the Son of God, and I will let you be the Lord of my life by calling the shots. I will pick up my cross and I will follow you no matter where you call me to go. And I think part of this, when he says in here about picking up our cross and denying ourselves, again, as I talked to you about like last week, sometimes we want to win the argument. And part of what we're going to have to lay down is, I don't need to win that argument. You know, it's very telling to me. I told you earlier that it's, I love when answering questions with questions, when somebody says, you believe in God that does this and this? Well, I don't know. What do you believe about God? You're turning it around. Next time you're reading through the Gospels, look at how many times, especially if you have a Bible where the words of Jesus are in red, look at how many times that you're going to see a question in black ink. Somebody else asked it. And immediately after that, you're going to see a question mark in red ink. Jesus was a master at asking questions of questioners who were trying to trip him up. Now, when you see a question mark in black followed by a period in red, that's where Jesus said, this is a true seeker. This is somebody who really wants to know the answer to that. But you know where all of those red letters almost disappear? Is when Jesus is standing on quote-unquote trial just before his crucifixion. When these chief priests that he talked about here, he says the Son of Man will be handed over to these chief priests and elders and teachers of the law, and they're grilling him and they're making all kinds of they say statements about him. Look at how few red letters are there. Jesus just says, okay, I know what I believe. I know what I stand for. I don't need to try to refute this. And part of our picking up our cross and denying ourselves is to even let ourselves look foolish in the eyes of the world. Look like we don't know how to answer that question. Look like, you know, there's times that you just go, okay, I'm just not even going to engage. Now, I hate losing. I wanted to win every argument, every claim that somebody made, everything that they said to me, I always had to respond. But I've learned that that doesn't get me very far. It just makes me angry sometimes and frustrated. Sometimes you have to just be, I'm just going to walk away from this because I don't want to run the risk of my lifestyle testimony because I get angry, because I get frustrated, because I maybe start getting a little snarky with my responses back to them. I don't want that to cancel out my verbal confession. So we have to have both the verbal and the lifestyle confession. That's what makes it essential. Brendan Manning, boy, this is hard words for Christians, but he says this, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, with their verbal lifestyle, walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. This is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. We've got to be so careful that our lifestyle confession isn't canceling out our verbal confession. Psalm 139 is probably expresses the most intimate way that God knows us. In fact, David even starts off that prayer by saying, God, you have searched me, you know me. And then he talks about, not only have you known me from the moment of conception and knit me together in my mother's womb, but he said, but even before that moment of conception, every single day of my life, you already saw all that. And yet still, when he confessed how much God knows him and how intimately God knows him, he still ends with this prayer, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive, anything at all, any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I don't want there to be the smallest thing in my lifestyle confession that undermines, cancels out my verbal confession. The essential confession for us is both. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the lifestyle. I will pick up my cross, deny myself, and follow you wherever you take me. We have to have both.
To get in touch with Craig, to read more posts, or to access the huge library of resources Craig has compiled, go to craigtowens.com.